Hi, this is Eric Schlein of the Intelligent Investing Podcast. Today's episode of the Intelligent Investing Podcast is sponsored by Red Rock Running. Runners and joggers out there, tell me if this sounds familiar. You go into your local running store to pick up some gear, first the shirt, and as you browse the shirts, you see that nice, high-quality performance shirt running you at least $40. Then, you need something to carry your smartphone so you can listen to the Intelligent Investing Podcast while you run. Or maybe you want to track your run with a GPS. A smartphone carrier costs something like $20 or $30. And between work, family, and other responsibilities, the only chance many of us have to go for a run is early in the morning or late at night. That often means running in the dark. So, to help stay safe, you need a reflective vest to increase visibility. That's another $10, $15. So, in total, you can expect to spend over $100 just for gear that goes on your upper body. Red Rock Running has a better way. Their new Bryce running shirt combines all three of those products into one simple item. Secure pockets built directly into each sleeve carry your smartphone or other audio device, a couple of keys, headphones, or energy gels. Strategically placed, reflective material increases your visibility, keeping you safe when running in the dark. Intelligent Investing Podcast listeners know the importance of value. Purchasing a technical shirt, smartphone carrier, and a reflective vest separately costs over $100. The Bryce running shirt, however, gives you all three for only $59. And Red Rock Running is offering listeners this podcast an additional 15% off any purchase by using the promo code INVESTINGPOD at checkout. So that's right, listeners, if you are a listener of the Intelligent Investing Podcast, you get an additional 15% off any purchase of a shirt that's already a good value by using that promo code INVESTINGPOD at checkout. So remember, go to Red Rock Running, REDROCK, running.com, and receive 15% off your Bryce running shirt with promo code INVESTINGPOD, INVESTINGPOD. Carry more, increase visibility, decrease hassle.
Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett, here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, this is Eric Schlein. You're listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, and today we have back on Anthony Morley. Welcome back.
Hey, Eric. Thanks a lot for having me back on. I'm excited to talk about this.
Definitely, man. So tell us what you want to talk to us about today.
Yeah, so one of our investments, and one that I know that you know quite a bit about, too, is SiriusXM. I think it's just a great business, and I think it's super interesting.
Yeah, and for just full disclosure, you know, my company and clients, we own a position in the tracking stock of SiriusXM called the Liberty Sirius Group, SiriusXM Group. So full disclosure. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think it's probably best to start at the beginning. So SiriusXM, 67% of the shares are owned by Liberty Media.
69% now.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes. We want to be exact with these numbers here.
That is true. So in 2008, you know, SiriusXM was a big business. It had like 20 million subscribers, and it had been growing them like crazy. I don't remember what the rates were, but I think it had 16 million just only 2 years before that. So they were growing the business. It was very popular, doing well, but they were losing money.
Yeah.
And so in 2008, I think Liberty had owner earnings of like negative $400 million. They weren't doing well. And then just the next year, they made about $200 million. But in that time, 2008 happened, they ran out of cash and they were weeks from going bankrupt. Liberty Media and John Malo swiped in and gave them a $530 million loan, which also got them 40% of the stock in the company. And it was perfect timing because the next year Sirius made a bunch of money. And since then, they've grown their subscribers up to about 32.2 million, I believe, in that time. So from 20 to 32. And now they're very profitable.
And a cash flow machine.
And and a massive cash flow machine. So it was perfect timing for Liberty. I think their $580 million investment is now worth something like $17 billion. So that's one of the better investments out there in the last few years, I would say. So obviously you can buy the stock just through Sirius. I think the ticker is Sirius. Yeah. Or you can purchase a tracking stock through Liberty Media and Liberty Sirius. And those tracking stocks have traded at about 20% discount to what the SiriusXM price is. So I think it's super interesting because you're getting this business for 20% cheaper than what you can just already buy it for.
And talk about the valuation of the business, because obviously if you have something overvalued at 20% discount, really isn't that, you know, that interesting. So why is why is this interesting
to you? Yeah, so right now I believe that the owner earnings of Sirius are about 34 cents a share of Sirius shares.
And when you say owner's earnings, how are you calculating that?
Cash from operations minus the maintenance CapEx, and then subtracting the stock-based compensation as well, which is the owner earnings. It's, you know, a little bit less than what their EBIT is.
And, and that's a term just for so the listeners can get it. That's a term that Buffett has brought up before as a way to more accurately measure how much earnings are actually going back to shareholders.
Yeah, exactly. And the maintenance CapEx can be the hard part to figure out because you don't know exactly.
And you're never going to. I was just going to say you're never going to get an exact number, but you know, with Sirius, it's not too hard. You can get an estimate.
Yeah, you can get a very good estimate with Sirius, I think. So, I think they're earning about 34 cents a share, roughly. The stock right now, I believe, is trading at about $5.50. The Sirius stock. And the effective price that you're paying right now is about $4.28 through the Liberty Sirius shares. You're paying $4.28. You get 34 cents in earnings, which is about an 8% initial return. But they've been growing at 15 to 20% a year for the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And I think that all the ingredients, kind of the machine of the business to keep growing their profits, are going to continue. And I'm sure if any
you're breaking up a little bit. So just say that, what you just said again. Oh, one sentence.
Yep. Yeah. So I think the machine of the business, that's what's been making it grow, is going to continue in the future. If anyone's bought a new vehicle lately, or maybe even a used vehicle, they'll keep doing what they've been doing. So if you buy a new vehicle through Sirius, you get a 1 year free trial subscription. Then at the end of that year, you know, your Sirius shuts off. And if you want to buy it, then you have to actually purchase a subscription. And mine actually just came up on my vehicle that I bought last year, and I bought a new subscription. About 39% of people convert their trial to a subscription on the new vehicles. And 75% of new vehicles have that Sirius installed, and that number is expected to increase in the coming years because they signed contracts with all the major automakers.
Yeah, and to add to that too, when it comes to the used car market, they're expecting to get to 75% for the used car market as well, which is amazing.
Correct, and they're only at 35% now, and more used cars are sold in the U.S. than new, so that could be.
I see that's a big deal, a next engine of growth.
Yep. You know, and obviously maybe there's some potential threats with autonomous vehicles way in the future, but it's going to take a long time to get this current car fleet off the road. So I think we've got quite a few years of runway, and, you know, if people aren't having to actually drive and use the wheel, maybe they'll use Sirius products even more. You know, that could be an outcome too.
So some people would be concerned. I'll just, you know, give you the other argument, right? So some people might be concerned about peak auto. That's a thing you hear in investment circles. What do you say to that? And maybe we're just at the top of an auto cycle, and then, you know, as auto sales come down, it's going to crush the cash flows for Sirius.
So if you look at what happened in 2006 to 2009, they lost some subscribers, but not a bunch. And I mean, auto sales might go down, but I think people that are still driving, still using their vehicle will keep their subscription. Some will cancel for sure, but I don't think it'll be, over 10% more than likely.
Yeah.
I think it'll be more than manageable.
Now, there are potentially advantages of owning the regular common stock to the tracking stock, which would be, you know, not really my game, but if you were speculating that Liberty, SiriusXM would buy out the rest of Sirius at some point, potentially, right, the common stock could end up making you a little bit more money.
Yes, potentially. I actually don't think that'll be the case.
I own the tracking stock.
Yeah.
I don't either.
So SiriusXM is a classic Liberty investment in that when they get massive cash flows, they repurchase shares.
Yeah.
They've been repurchasing between $1.6 billion and $2.2 billion the last 3 years of stock. Their current authorization is for $10 billion. I think what's more than likely going to happen is that Sirius, the ticker Siri, will keep repurchasing shares like they have been doing.
Yep.
And by my calculations, in about 5 years, there'd be about 3.2 billion shares outstanding, of which 3.1 billion are the shares that Liberty owns. So then Liberty would own 98% of the stock or something around there.
Yeah.
By that point. And then I think that discount will go away.
The other thing, too, is that one Sirius, this is, I think, a big point, too, that one Sirius is 80% controlled by Liberty Media, which is, you know, for the tracking stock, Liberty Sirius Group. Something interesting happens.
They don't have to pay dividends. They don't have to pay tax on the dividends that that get paid out.
Yeah, so.
And Sirius did just start paying a dividend in the last couple of quarters.
Right, like so I think cents. So. At 80%, they technically become I forget the legal term, but it's like they're an actual subsidiary.
Yeah, they're a controlled company. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, at that point, really, Liberty Sirius could then start buying back, using Sirius's cash flow to buy back their own stock.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, they definitely could.
I thought about that too.
I actually hadn't thought about doing it that way, but. Yeah, I think those keep repurchasing the stock, and eventually the discount will go away. Or if they want to purchase those additional outstanding Sirius shares, there'll be so few of them outstanding that it won't be a big premium.
Yeah, exactly.
It won't cost very much to do it. But yeah, I like getting something 20% cheaper than, you know, what's currently offered.
So why do you think the discount's there? Because I have some theories.
I think some large funds don't want to buy tracking stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's some mistrust of that.
Could even be against their mandate too. Some of these large funds.
Yeah, that's very possible. That's really the biggest one that I can think of. Would you have one that you're?
There's a few. So I think the first one is that the tracking stock. Some people just don't want to touch it. I've met professional investment advisors and people like that. They don't even know what a tracking stock is. So like they can talk to you about Sirius, and they don't even know Liberty Sirius exists, which is just like kind of funny to me.
You've got to get into the Malone complex and take a lot of time to understand it. And frankly, if I wasn't comfortable with Malone and how he's treated shareholders,
I would never even look at any of that stuff.
Then I wouldn't touch at it.
And then the other thing too is that it could just be also a supply and demand imbalance too, right? Where you know there isn't that much float available. John Malone's a large shareholder in Liberty Sirius. And then Sirius is buying back all this stock, which keeps the price somewhat higher, potentially.
Yeah.
So that, it just could be a supply and demand thing, too.
I think it's fine to look at how the B shares trade. There's always a huge bid-ask spread. A couple shares trade a day because Malone controls nearly all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it'll be up like 12% in a day or something like that, just to catch up with the other two class shares.
Yeah.
So what do you think it's worth right now? What intrinsic value wise?
Well, I mean, what would I pay for it now? So I think the Sirius shares are probably worth something like $6, maybe a little bit more. And, you know, and through the discount we're getting, we're buying it at $4.28. So we're getting a solid discount on that.
And then intrinsic value is growing every year, too.
Yes, and growing significantly, above 10%. And one thing I think that's worth mentioning, which is the biggest issue that's out there, even in just the last few days, the Copyright Royalty Board decided to increase their rates for their royalties on music.
Yes, which wasn't that big of a deal. The market seemed like thought it was a big deal. I don't really think it was that big of a deal. I don't know what your thoughts were about that.
Yeah, so it raised their rates on their music royalties from 11% of gross revenues to 15.5% next year.
And the market freaked out.
It did. But if you look at how they've been growing revenues, and they've actually been getting some of their costs down in the last year, I think it'll be fine. Obviously, they're not going to grow at 20%. They're not going to grow their owner earnings, their EBIT at 20% like they did some of the last few years. But I still think it'll be close to 10%. They'll still grow their profits close to 10%, assuming they get about another million subscribers. So I think it'll be fine. And then that, what's nice is that 15.5% stays flat for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
In the previous contract, it went up a little bit each year, like a percent or so, or a half a percent. So if they get through next year and they keep growing subscribers, you know, they kind of a fixed cost for the next 5 years. Now we'll have to see what happens after 5 years.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be okay. One thing we haven't talked about is people might worry about the death of SiriusXM because of all the streaming services.
Okay.
You know, Spotify, maybe Apple Music, Pandora. And they made another interesting investment recently in Pandora.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Why don't you go talk about that?
Okay. So
I'm interviewing you.
That's true. So Greg Maffei, for a couple of years, has toyed around in interviews.
By the way, can we just – sorry, I got to interject. I can interject when I want.
I think it's hilarious.
Can I just say Greg Maffei is the most professional, like, hilarious troll in the finance world to the point that there's even so he's very active on Twitter. So if you look up Greg Maffei on Twitter, he's great. And then there's another Twitter that, like, is basically to troll Greg Maffei called, like, Faux Greg Maffei, I think that's what it
yep.
is, that,
yep,
like,
yep.
mocks that mocks Greg Maffei. And occasionally Greg Maffei will sometimes, like, troll Faux Greg Maffei.
So what I thought was the funniest one is when Greg Maffei said, "I wish I was as funny as Faux Greg Maffei."
Yeah. Yeah.
So Maffei, talk
about how he's been toying with the Pandora management for like a year now.
It's been a while. So he'd be in an interview and he'd talk about how, wow, Pandora's got so many great assets. Like their customers really like using it. You know, it's just great. And, you know, they'd love to be involved with it. But he'd talk about how
terrific business it is. Yeah.
And then he'd just leave it at that. And I don't know, every 3 months or so, he'd bring it up without really saying anything. So somewhat unsurprisingly, a couple of months ago, they made a $480 million investment in Pandora.
Before you go into that, though, he would go back and forth. He'd be like, yeah, really great. The management doesn't know what they're doing. Like, this is a crappy business. Like, I wouldn't even be doing it this way. And he would, like, go from, like, praising them to bashing them, like, every other month.
That is true. That is true.
And then Pandora wants this much. It's not worth that much. What are they talking about?
So finally, I guess he found something a value that was interesting.
At a much lower price than they could have originally gotten a year ago, too.
True. Very true.
It was all psychological. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, and I don't have this at the top pulled up, but I know Pandora is losing money.
Yeah,
their subscription service is pretty small at this point, albeit growing. So Liberty or SiriusXM made a $480 million investment in preferred shares that pay 6%, but they can be converted to 19% stock in the company. Pretty similar to how Liberty got involved with Sirius. Yeah, very similar deal. So I believe Maffei and John Malone are on the board and maybe one other Liberty person. And, you know, they'll get to hang out with Pandora for a year and hopefully help them improve their business. And, you know, I guess we never know what's going to happen with that. But they're involved in streaming. They're, you know, working in it. And, you know, I think it makes SiriusXM a safer investment from the perspective of getting disrupted by the streaming companies.
Yeah. And that was clearly part of the strategy of buying that was almost as an insurance policy against that, too.
I would think so. I would think so. And Sirius obviously has done a great job getting large advertisers to advertise on their service, too. And I would assume that Pandora could only benefit from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Sirius is actually doing a lot of things with opening up their spectrum. So I think by 2025, they'll double their usable spectrum by using it more efficiently. They're coming out with a new product called 360L. I guess it'll have a better interface and it'll work better in the vehicle. So Pandora could very easily be part of that too, if they work together well.
And that was another asset of SiriusXM too, is all this extra spectrum that they have too.
Yeah, I mean, so if they can double their usable spectrum by 2025 by just using it more efficiently, then you could have a lot more channels. Maybe you can deliver a totally different type of content, like maybe some services with the connected car, because obviously vehicles are getting way more connected and will be, you know, more autonomous and whatever. Maybe there's some new business that we're not even thinking of. That
could you see them selling some of that off too?
Maybe. Well, yeah, potentially.
I've talked to some people about that too as a possibility.
Yeah, and it's worth
a lot of money.
Yeah, it's probably worth a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a nice little hidden asset that's, you know, not really paying right now, but it could be worth something, you know, many years down the road.
Yes. All right. Well, very interesting. Is there anything else you want to add to that? I think we covered most of it.
No, that pretty much covers all that I can think of it. You know, maybe one thing is they expect their vehicle fleet to double, I think, by 2025. So there's roughly 90 million or 95 million vehicles on the road right now installed with Sirius. So those 95, 32 million have a subscription, but they expect that to be up to 185 million in 2025. So if you get roughly the same amount, you'd have a lot more subscriptions.
What do you say? Well, one other thing too. What do you say to the argument when people say, "Well, SiriusXM, crappy business, just because anyone can just use an app on their phone and, you know, get streaming in their car"? What do you say to that?
Well, you're going to burn through current data prices. You'll burn through a lot of your data,
unless you have unlimited data.
That's true. And we're moving that way.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to use than being on your phone and trying to click through your Spotify and stuff.
Yes.
It's much easier to have your presets and just click on the button that's in your car. Now, obviously, that'll probably get better in newer vehicles that are coming out.
And those companies know that, too, so maybe they'll have their own stations at some point.
Yep. But they have different content, too. You know, like they have Howard Stern locked up exclusively on SiriusXM, and I don't know how many people listen to Howard Stern, but I think it's millions.
A lot of people got the NFL sports games. Yeah.
Yep. You don't have to download a different app
for different things.
There's a lot of good radio shows, radio personalities that only do their broadcasts on Sirius. So I think they've done a good job of getting content you can only get there.
Yep.
And it's a good music discovery tool. Obviously, Spotify, you can do the discover thing and find different songs, but.
But it's such a different purpose, right? The person who's using Spotify is almost doing a different thing than listening to Sirius, which you usually do in the car.
Yep, and I use both, for myself personally.
Yeah.
I got most of my playlists on Spotify, but if I'm in the car, I like listening to NFL radio to find out what's going on with the NFL teams during the week. And I could probably find a way to get that but it's easier for me to pay $130 a year for my subscription and know that it's channel 88.
Yeah. And then again, if people want to get in contact with you, I know we've said this on a previous show, but just what's your firm name, website?
Yep. Delphi Value Investments in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
And you can find me at DelphiValueInvestments.com and I have all my contact info there.
All right. Thanks, man. Well, have a good day. It was great having you on.
Yeah, awesome. Great talking to
you. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.